This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Traumatic events can certainly cause things to stick, if you will. You know, memories, emotions, you know, obviously when they happen to you as a living person, those are things that don't go away easily or ever. And sometimes it seems that those events, those moments, sometimes not only, you know, stain our brain, psyche, you know, our memories, our emotions, but they seem to also sometimes stain the environment as well. And something really horrible happens, and maybe someone goes through a lot of pain and agony, maybe as they regret the choice they made, but the choice has been made and there's no getting out of it anymore. In our next story, we hear of one such story where in a time of such darkness and depression, a woman locks herself in her trailer, sets it on fire, and commits suicide. Does she ever truly leave the property, though? The next tenant has an opinion, and it's her story. Take a listen. I just recently found your podcast and YouTube channel. I enjoy hearing your listeners' real ghost stories and wanted to relay one of the many paranormal encounters I've had over the past 40 plus years. What started it all was, for me, an experience I had right out of high school. The events that took place in this haunted trailer were as real as it gets. Thanks for taking the time to read my story and the story of others on your show. Here is my story. I like to call it The Ghost in the Green Dress. I was working and living in the small town of Aiton, North Carolina. This is just outside of Greenville, North Carolina. This took place back in the late 1970s. I was 18 or 19 at the time. I was working for a small finance company as their branch manager, and I needed a place to stay. I was fortunate enough to find a trailer for rent that was just on the outskirts of town. Please note, the landlord never mentioned the fact that this place was haunted until after I moved out and handed him the keys. The trailer was in a small trailer park of five trailers, and mine was the one that bordered the woods at the back of the park. Nothing out of the ordinary happened for the first couple of weeks. It was a quiet trailer park. Everyone pretty much just attended to their own business. It was early fall, and I was working late one night. I'd been having alternator trouble on my car, 1972 Vega, and a friend offered to follow me home to make sure I made it. When we pulled down my driveway, we were both surprised to find the front door of my trailer standing wide open, and all the lights had been turned on in the trailer. The friend that followed me home that night asked me, "Do you always go to work in the morning and leave your front door open and all your lights on?" I told her no. We went to investigate. To my surprise, everything was as it should be, except for the lights being on and the front door open. My friend hung around for a while, and she finally left around midnight. It was quiet for the rest of the night. A few weeks later was when things really turned creepy. I was sleeping in the far back bedroom and had only been lying there for about 10 minutes. I was in that kind of half asleep, half awake stage. Suddenly the whole trailer starts to violently shake. It shook for about 15 or 20 seconds, and I jumped out of bed. When my feet hit the floor, the trailer suddenly stopped shaking. I froze for a few seconds, then I grabbed a billy stick that I kept under my bed and slowly started down the hall to investigate. Please note the weather was calm and clear that night as I slowly made my way down the long hall, started turning lights on as I went. First the bathroom light, nothing, and the spare bedroom light, again nothing, but then I rounded the corner to the living room and flipped on the lights. I literally froze in mid-step. Something was different. Something was out of place, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Then, as I looked across the living room and into the kitchen, I saw something lying on the kitchen floor that was not supposed to be there. Something I'd never seen before. It was small, round, the size of a small dessert plate. After kicking this thing around on the floor with a billy stick, I finally picked it up and realized it was a smoke detector. The front cover was missing, so all we saw were the electronics. Keep in mind, this was back in the late 70s, and the modern smoke detector had not been around that many years. So believe me when I say I was quite puzzled. Problem number one, there were no markings on the ceiling where this thing could have fell from. Problem two, I don't ever remember seeing a smoke detector anywhere in the trailer before. And problem number three, the deadbolts and chain locks were locked from the inside, and there's no way anyone could have gotten inside without busting the door down or breaking a window. You'll understand who, or should I say what, had placed that smoke detector there by the time I had finished my story. After trying to figure the situation out for about an hour, I finally got frustrated, tossed the smoke detector on top of the fridge, and went back to bed. Of course, I didn't get much sleep that night. Next morning, it was still up there on top of the fridge. Everything settled down for about another week. Then one night, I came home late again. I'd been out of town, and I'd hit a few bars. Yes, I'd been drinking, but I only had a few beers over the course of the evening. I was in no way over the legal limit to drive. About 12 midnight, I started to make my way home. On the way, I stopped by the local 7-Eleven, open 24 hours, and picked up some stuff to make sandwiches with. I also picked up a six-pack of canned Cokes. Remember, this was back in the day when canned drinks only came in six-packs. I made it home safely, turned on the TV, then proceeded to make myself a sandwich. Put the six-pack of canned Cokes in the fridge and pulled one out to drink, which I ate my sandwich and watched a little TV. I'd not finished my Coke by the time I finished my sandwich, so I turned off the TV and took the half-finished Coke to my bedroom and placed it on my nightstand. All is quiet. I had a good night's sleep. The next morning is Saturday. I get up, throw my jeans on and an old t-shirt and head for the kitchen to make breakfast. I pick up the now warm Coke off my nightstand and take it to the kitchen to pour down the sink and throw the can away. After doing this, I open the fridge to get the eggs out and notice something very strange. Two Cokes were now missing from the six-pack. I was confused because I know I only drank one Coke the night before. I reached in, got the eggs, and closed the fridge door. As the door closes, something catches my eye over in the living room. There, sitting on the end table next to the couch, was an empty Coke can and the telephone receiver. An old rotary phone, for those of you who don't remember, had been taken off the hook and was now sitting on top of an empty Coke can. I looked at the front door, and again, the deadbolt, chain lock are locked from the inside. And now I'm thinking something paranormal may be going on, which was later confirmed that afternoon by the lady next door. I had never met Margaret until that Saturday because she was a registered nurse and always worked weird hours. She just happened to be out in her yard walking her little dogs when I went out to take the trash. We exchanged a normal, "Hi, how are you doing? My name is so-and-so." Then as we started a conversation, I asked her if anything strange ever goes on around her place, and I proceeded to tell her some of the things that had happened to me since I moved in. When I started telling her about the smoke detector I found on the floor, she turned white as a sheet. "What's wrong?" I asked. She said, "Honey, if I told you, you wouldn't step a foot back in that trailer." Okay, now I'm worried. But I must know. I begged her to tell me. "Well," she said, "not in your trailer, but on the same spot that your trailer sits today, there was another trailer. Some 10 or 15 years earlier, a young woman had committed suicide by locking all her doors, setting her trailer on fire. She called her mom right before she did it. Margaret said the young woman was the one who had been haunting the trailer, and her ghost must have brought me the smoke detector so the same thing wouldn't happen to me. She said that she was surprised that I stayed if I did. She then proceeded to tell me that the other tenants lasted only about a week, that the landlord couldn't keep the place rented due to the fact that it was haunted." Okay. Now I have a lot to think about. Do I stay or do I go? I stayed, but I had a friend move in with me to share the rent, and I felt a little better knowing someone else was there and I wasn't alone at night. Safety in numbers, right? Well, I told him all the stories and what Margaret had told me, and he was like, "It's all in your head, man. There's no such thing as a ghost." Well, I didn't take long to make a believer out of him. Now, if you're listening to this in the dark, you might want to turn the light on before you hear this next part. As the old cliche goes, it was a dark and stormy night. A few nights after my roommate moved in, I stayed up till about 1 a.m. playing cards, watching TV, when I went to bed in the back bedroom. He crashed on the couch. About 2 a.m., I lay awake listening to the storm. I was lying on my side and was just about to doze off, and suddenly something grabbed my ankle. I looked up and I saw the ghost of a young woman in green dress standing at the foot of my bed. She was just standing there with a pleasant smile on her face, and yes, she had leaned over the bed and had her hand on my ankle. Small bolts of lightning from the storm outside lit the room just enough where I could see her. I was truly terrified. I tried to scream. I opened my mouth. Nothing came out. I was that scared. I lay there looking at her for what seemed like an eternity, but was only about 30 or 45 seconds. Suddenly, a big flash of lightning hit that one that hit it and lit the whole room up like daytime, followed immediately by a huge crack of thunder. When the room got dark again, she was gone. No more pressure on my ankle. Nothing. I reached for the lamp on my nightstand and turned it on. After going to the bathroom and regaining my composure, I finally went back off to sleep. The next morning, when I got up and went to the living room, my roommate was lying on the couch with a blanket pulled right around his shoulders and his eyes the size of silver dollars. When I entered the room, I startled him. He pulled the blanket over his head. When he realized it was me, he got up and asked me if I was walking around. About 3 a.m. this morning, my ghost encounter happened around 2 a.m. and by 3 I was fast asleep. Told him that no, I was asleep at 3. He must understand something. I'm a single wide trailer. You can hear every footstep a person makes and can tell where they are just by the sounds of the steps. He said that around 3 a.m. he heard footsteps coming from my bedroom. The footsteps got louder as they came down the hallway, and he was waiting for me to come around the corner, but I never did. As the footsteps got closer to where I was lying on the couch, or where he was lying on the couch, he didn't see anyone. He froze, and he waited for the worst. The footsteps entered the living room, walked between the couch where he was lying and the coffee table. They then proceeded to walk into the kitchen, around the kitchen table, back into the living room, retracting their steps back into my bedroom. He said he had laid there awake on the couch and waited for daybreak and for me to get up. My first words to him before I told him what happened to me that night was, "I told you this place is haunted." We moved out the next week. When I handed the keys to my landlord and told him some of the things that happened, he just smiled and said that I'd stayed in that trailer longer than anyone. He did not know what he was going to do with the place. I suggested he tried staying there for a week, and just gave me a blank stare and said there's no way he would spend one night in that place. Looking back, I don't think the ghost in the green dress was out to harm anyone. She was, or should I say, just a lost soul looking for someone to interact with and bring peace to herself so she can cross over into the light.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.